Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Thank you for joining us today for part five in our eight-part series we've called Kids, Dating, and Marriage. Bethley and I have enjoyed this conversation, and I think you will as well. Well, let's get started today
Yes. In
our podcast. We have so much enjoyed chatting with you about kids and dating and marriage.
Yes.
And I had a different title, so I'm always having to remember how that one goes.
Sorry, we've done great.
Hey, this is just really a podcast we're doing about how we handle dating and how it helped to prepare our kids for marriage.
Right.
And so far we're three out of five.
This will be part three. Yes.
Well, I mean, 3 out of 5 children.
Yes.
But nonetheless, we've enjoyed chatting with you on this first idea of what we did was we don't date, we wait.
Right.
And that's our way of saying we don't play the dating game, we prepare for marriage instead.
Right.
And even this summer, being around so many teenagers who are doing the little, I got a girlfriend, I got a little boyfriend.
Yes.
And I've observed so many times how that, you know, a young man, he's obviously really close friends with this girl, but he's not mature enough to even consider marriage.
Right.
And it's just not a wise way to do it.
Yeah.
It's not wrong for guys and girls to talk to each other. Don't you dare think we're saying that at all.
Oh, no.
And we wanted our children to be friends with girls, guys, just to develop friendships.
Well, if you go back and you listen to part one or part two, which is what I was referring to before, not children, listen to part one and part two, we talked about the biblical premise for finding a spouse, and we talked about don't date, wait means just be friends with everybody.
Sure, and it's worked great for our family.
Yes, it has.
And so we encourage you about that. And of course, it can mean, you know, different things, different ways of applying that. For some people, they, you know, for our children, until they reach a certain age, we don't let them text or you know, do a lot of interaction via social media. We keep it all in live person. That
right.
way it's about people we know.
Yes.
And that way, you know, they're not torn between, you know, here's this person that's sharing something emotional online and I want to be friends with them.
Right.
So we didn't let the boys have girls' numbers until they were a certain age, and that's
right.
varied a little bit with each of the boys.
Uh-huh.
And same with our girls about having guys' numbers. And then even when we let them do that, they had to ask us before they could have the girl's number.
Right.
And that just has been a great tool. Just a little, you know, a little extra there. But we want to keep going today. And
yes.
We might even be able to close it out in this session.
Right.
But the other two things that we did, we did the first one. We just summed it up in the way of saying we don't date, we wait.
Right.
But the second one, just to kind of give you something to kind of hold on to a little bit, I would say it like this. We didn't let our children date alone. We always insisted on a chaperone.
A chaperone.
So don't date alone,
does
take a chaperone.
Does that sound Victorian or what?
It does. But for us, what it means is simply this. It was a nice way of saying we want our children to keep all of their relationships public.
Yes.
And protected.
Yes.
Not the private, but public and
right.
protected. And by chaperone, it means different things to different people. And usually it's a negative terminology unless you're in a culture
right.
that has really made chaperone part of your standards.
Mm-hmm.
But the chaperone doesn't have to mean a negative thing. It's not like we sat in the back seat anytime our children were together with a shotgun or anything like that.
Right. And it wasn't even always we insisted that a little brother or a little sister go with them. I mean, there were times
sure.
where a sibling would
So we would let our kids have
around.
Dates. In
yes.
public.
Yes.
That was the whole deal. So that even though it might not be dad or mom or sibling, they were always, you know, a waiter at a restaurant.
Right.
Or so
what you mean, they were allowed to be in the car. Mm-hmm. Our children were allowed to be in the car on their way somewhere. So they would
yes.
leave the house. They would go to a restaurant.
Yes.
They could have a date at the restaurant. They could get back in the car and come back to the house without a little sibling.
Yeah, and so that allows them, that's in public, they're driving,
right.
that's in public. We know
right.
the restaurant they're going to, that's going to be public.
Right.
And when you live, especially in a town like ours, everywhere you go, people know, oh, there's
yes.
the Young's car.
Right.
And, oh, there's Matt, or there's, you know, Josh. And everybody knows, you know, our church people are everywhere.
Right, we have
We never go to Walmart without meeting somebody from
yes.
either one of our, you know, our church or one of the churches that we're friends with.
Right.
And so it was just a matter of keeping relationships public and protected.
Mm-hmm.
And as our children got older, now when we didn't do the dating game, that was no issue. So
right.
you know, in your high school years, it didn't matter because everything you did, you either did in a group
Right.
Or you didn't do.
So they were in high school. Our kids were allowed to go do group activities.
Absolutely.
Even if it weren't a church activity, like a planned church teen activity. For instance, this summer, Jacob would meet friends at a coffee shop, and it would be a mixed group, guys and girls.
Sure.
But it wasn't just him and a girl because he hadn't yet made it to college.
Yeah. And even at, you know, at that point, this didn't apply. The standard of a chaperone
right.
didn't apply. Because they were very public and the relationship
right.
was not an exclusive dating relationship.
Right. He's just friends.
But as we move into this one, the whole point of keeping relationships public and protected has been a standard that's helped our children a lot.
Right.
And one of the reasons, moms and dads, we chose Christian college education for our children mm-hmm. is that in the Christian college realm, especially the ones that we favor, in the Christian college realm, there
yes.
is a lot of opportunity to develop relationships, but it is always public and protected.
Yes.
And I know that for each of our children, there was a little bit of frustration in that because as their friendship began to deepen some, at least in the college our children attended, there were fewer opportunities where they could have a conversation without being interrupted.
Right.
And I know when we attended college, even at Pensacola Christian College, many,
yes.
many, 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 many years ago.
When we would sit out on the wall.
There still would be people interrupt you, but
yes.
even at PCC, and it was kind of joked about and teased about, but they had a place that we affectionately called the dating parlor. But really, it was a place where you could go and there would be a less of an opportunity for someone to interrupt you. You could have
right.
a conversation.
A more private conversation, I guess.
With your girlfriend or boyfriend mm-hmm. as you're getting to know them. You could
right.
have a conversation that was public but yet private.
Right.
And so that was a little bit of a challenge for our children.
We never went there. We didn't
We
go.
Never did. We never did, did we?
Because we were
too
just
cool.
too social.
That's
I think
true,
we were
we
too
were
social.
Very social. And just for one thing, we were also very busy.
We were.
And so we rarely had the time where we could just go there and sit. But Christian college education helped us here. And our simple
yes.
reasoning was that if we could help our children to keep their relationships in the public eye,
right,
it would also help them to stay pure and protected. So,
yes.
As Bethy just mentioned, we would let our children go out to eat together
mm-hmm.
because being in a public restaurant counted in our
right.
standard. Now, not everybody agrees with that. And you have to do what you think God wants
right.
you to do with your children.
Uh-huh.
We're just telling you how we helped our children.
Right.
And so we were okay with them going out to eat together. Certainly they could go to a service together or to a ball game together.
Right, they can go to Walmart together.
Yeah. Anything
or the
that
mall.
Was in the public
yes.
eye counted
yes.
for us because our goal was not just to necessarily, you know, say, okay, this is a formal date. You must have a person always in your presence.
Yes. There must be a person of the family with eyes on you at all times.
We're okay
we
with our friends who do that, but
right.
we chose not to do that and to be a little more practical maybe.
Yes.
And it worked fine for our children and it's worked very well for our children. Marriage is the place where a relationship becomes private.
Yes.
And until there's a marriage, and we'd always taught our children, until marriage has occurred, mm-hmm. Public is how you need to think. Always
right.
keep any display of affection something public.
Yes.
So if you ever hold her hand or his hand, it
right.
should be in public.
Yes.
Where somebody is watching you do that. If you ever, you know, say, give a, you know, a goodnight hug.
Yes.
I'll see you later, and you give a brief hug. That should be something that is always done in public or not done.
Right.
And by doing that, it's just simply a way of saying, you know what, affection is an appropriate thing here. And we'll talk about that more here in just a moment.
Right.
But we want to be safe and careful. So marriage is the place and the place where we encourage our children. That's the place where relationship becomes private. So focus on that.
Right. And with saying they never dated alone, they always had to take a chaperone, meaning you just have to be in public. There was a lot of communication that went on. The couples, when the girls would be visiting our house or when David would be visiting our house and visiting our children, they didn't just up and leave the house. They would say, hey, we're planning to go out to dinner this evening and then go to the mall for a little bit. We'll be gone this long. You know, so there was that accountability of where are you and what are you doing? And if something happened while they were out, say they needed to stop at the store and get something or they needed to stop and get fuel for the car, they would text us and they would say, hey, yeah. this is going to take a few extra minutes, but this is what we're doing. So we had a calmness in our heart that their testimony was being protected. They were staying in public. Mm-hmm. They weren't sneaking around. There was a lot of communication.
And we always just ask our children to do a lot of communication.
Yes, we
and
did.
And with texting, it's just amazing. And I know that like our son would come in and he would say, Dad, would it be okay with you? Kareth is going to be here visiting Monday through Thursday.
Right.
Could I take her to lunch on Wednesday?
Right.
and this is where we would go. And then even while they're at lunch, he might text me and say, Dad, Kareth would like some ice cream. Would it be okay if, as when we leave the restaurant, if we swing by and pick up ice cream and have ice cream at such and such place?
Right. And they would often, our children, we have a river walk in our town and they love it. And during the day, well, even in the evening, there are a lot of people
There's
walking
always
up and
people
down
there.
The river walk. But during the day, our couples from our family, they like to go down there and they would walk, get ice cream and talk. And it was a great place for them to be because they were in public, but it's a beautiful place. And
it's beautiful. There's enough, you know, there's place to talk, there's places to sit and watch the boats and the water and all of those kind of things. So those are just the ways that we tried to make things work. One of the things that helped me with that was Proverbs 5, 6, and 7.
Yes.
And probably the theme to chapter 5 is found in chapter 4. Most of us would remember this verse where he says, keep your heart with all diligence.
Yes.
So I outline chapters 5, 6, and 7 as in chapter 5, he's challenging his children to guard their heart.
Yes.
In chapter 6, he's challenging them to garner counsel. Hmm. And in chapter 7, to grow in purity. And we wouldn't take the time here to go deeply into that, but just think through chapter 5 if you're familiar with it. In chapter 5, he talks about, he gives a massive warning about adultery and what it costs. He says things like, he's talking about the strange woman because it's leading to adultery. Mm-hmm. And he says her end is bitter as wormwood. Hmm. He talks about how that adultery cuts very deeply. It is a sharp two-edged sword.
Right.
And he says it's deadly. It leads down to hell, to the grave. And he says to his son there, remove your way far from her and don't go near her.
Yeah.
But in chapter 5, the thing I love about it, moms and dads, and hear this very carefully, he not only gives a massive warning to his children about adultery and what it costs, he gives a massive celebration of marriage.
Right.
And he says to his son, and I know you've heard us teach on this if you've been with us all the way through our podcast, but Proverbs 5, 18, and 19, our children always hated being the ones that had to read those during family devotions. Because that's the verse where he says, you know, let her breast satisfy thee. Rejoice with the wife of your youth. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times. Be thou ravished always with her love.
Yes.
And I think really what he's trying to do there was saying to his son, you can choose adultery. It's as easy can be. Anybody that wants to can commit adultery.
Right.
In the culture we live in, it's accepted. It's normal. It's expected.
Right.
But because we're believers, it's not that we are anti-sexuality. It's not that, you know, sex is evil. Sex is ungodly. We never taught our children that.
No.
We taught our children that adultery is evil and ungodly, but in marriage and everything, the relationship, the friendship, the intimacy, the bedroom, all of that is to be celebrated.
Absolutely.
So we weren't telling our children, no, 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 no. We were saying to our children, wait.
Yes.
And that's what Solomon says to his son as he's talking about it. And he says, sex isn't wrong. Mm-hmm. To truly enjoy it, though, you have to wait for it. And if you will wait, you can find joy and satisfaction all the days of your life.
Right.
And mom and dad, I just, as an aside here, want to challenge you. Make sure that you don't give your children the idea that the bedroom in marriage is this necessary evil.
No.
And that, oh my word, you know, sometimes, you know, we've counseled couples where the wife's, maybe her mom taught her that, you know, well, he's going to want that and you know, and it, good luck.
No.
Well, that is no way to think.
No, and certainly, even if you and your husband have a wonderful relationship, to shield your children completely from any knowledge of the intimate relationship, the wonderful relationship between a husband and wife, and to treat it as, oh, no, that's nothing that you need to know about until you get married. That is just opening the door for them to try to find answers where they don't need to
in
be
the
finding
wrong place
answers. And also to try to find affection in places where they don't need to find it. But if you are upfront, like the proverb says, that adultery is evil and wicked, but marriage is wonderful and should be celebrated.
Sure.
And look what you have to look forward to. Let's not mess it up while we're getting to know this young lady or this young man.
You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Today was part 5 in our 8-part series entitled Kids, Dating, and Marriage. Join us next time for the 6th part of this series. In the meantime, make sure you are serving the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org. Or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIO Radio Network.